You must be born again is our topic today on Chapter and Verse. Here's Mike McIntosh to begin with this observation about that simple fact from God's Word.
You must be born again. Marvel not that I say you must be born again, because except you are born again, you'll be like Nicodemus, have all the knowledge, but no experience. You come like Moses, think that you've got it all and you're in charge, but he'll have to break you. Or you can be like Jesus, the Spirit of truth. He didn't come to destroy. He just said to Nicodemus, I didn't come to condemn, and I didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of CNV. Being born again, this fact is part of the first step in becoming a Christian. It's only when we're born of God's Spirit that we can understand spiritual things. It's only then that the Holy Spirit can come into our lives to guide us and give us the strength to resist the lusts of our flesh and the temptations of this world. It's crucial in order to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It is a step we pray that if you haven't taken, you'll do so today. Now, here's Mike McIntosh to resume our studies of the book of John with part two of You Must Be Born Again.
You are representing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the death and burial, the grave. You believe in the resurrection. This is really an identification between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, unless you've had the water birth and the spirit birth, there's no way you'll go to heaven. So you've had the water birth. You're all sitting here. Many of you have had water baptism, but you haven't had the spiritual birth. And so that means there's something lacking. There's something missing. And you may say, you know what? I felt this all my life. More so since I started reading the Bible. That's right. You could read the Bible. You could study. You could go to seminary and still not go to heaven. You could be a very nice person, but still go to heaven, not go to heaven. So that second birth is so important, that birth of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom without it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Pinch yourself right now. Go ahead, just pinch yourself. Now slug the person in the chin next to you. No, that's flesh. Okay, that's your flesh. You all know that. That's flesh. You are here. But this isn't what God designed you to be. You were designed after Adam and Eve, who originally weren't designed like this. Their spirit was bigger and brighter than this body. Though he had a rib and he had a body, they were spiritual beings, but they died when they sinned. So the body and the soul on the planet became number one. Satan's whole scene from that day was to keep the inhabitants of this planet blinded from spiritual life. Keep them thinking it's all about their thoughts and it's about their body. So everything is designed to keep you a prisoner as a worker bee in a system that just carries on for his glory. He's trying to imitate heaven where he was kicked out of. You have a spirit. And the more you feed this spirit, the stronger this spirit gets. And the more powerful this spirit gets, the more loving it gets. It doesn't get more proud and arrogant and haughty. It gets more loving and kind and gentle and meek, long-suffering and patient and full of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So maybe you have been born again, but you never read the Bible. How can you grow? If you're not reading the Scriptures every day, how in the world are you feeding yourself? Now, you can get up and go without breakfast, and you can pass up lunch, and you can have a piece of bread in the evening and a glass of water, and you can do that for a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, but pretty soon you're going to fall apart. You need to feed yourself. So you need to invest in your spirit. You're a spiritual being, and it's the spirit that is going to live forever. It's not this body. This body is going to conk out here pretty soon. You see, we never know when, where, or how. It is going to happen. We're all going to die. And for us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to is pure arrogance. We don't know. We're fragile beings. But when we're born again, no matter what happens to us, this spirit will come out. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, there's a new body waiting for you. And in this new body, You'll be recognized. You'll recognize your family and friends that are already there or that are coming after you. But you'll never get old. You'll never have aches and pains. You'll never use WD-40 on your elbows and your knees again. You'll never creak and moan and groan, never have a headache. You'll never cry. The Bible says there'll be no sickness, no dying, no death, no tears. In fact, it says God will wipe away the tears from your eyes. What a tender God whose right hand spans the universe is so tender that he'll reach down and wipe the tear off your eye. And I bet you there's not five people in your life you've ever let touch your face, let alone wipe a tear off your face beside your mom. Or maybe your grandparents or your dad. That's about it. Maybe one other person. But that's about it. And to think that God would get so close to you and spend time with you to touch your face and to wipe the tears away. Probably tears of joy. And probably the last tears that we'll ever shed because we'll have this new body. So you must have this second birth. He parallels it to the wind. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it. You can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. That Spirit is moving through here right now, back and forth. And some of you are saying, I want this birth. I want this second birth. I want eternity. And you don't know where it came from. You didn't wake up thinking about this last week. You didn't think about it. But this time may pass. Maybe you've heard this before. But it's been a long time since the wind has blown your way. And God has been patient with you. And it may never blow by you again. But as you look outside, and when the wind is blowing, you have no clue where the wind came from. But you see the trees bending a little bit. Or you can see it's a Santa Ana wind because the trees are bending towards the beach. And you know, oh, it's a warm wind coming out of the desert. Usually it's offshore coming inland. And it's pushing all the weather patterns with it. So you can tell by looking at the trees or the bushes or the grass or the waves, if the top of the wave is blowing back or it's blowing forward. You can tell by your hair blowing. You can tell by a scarf around your neck. You can tell by your jack-in-the-box head on your antenna of your car which way it's going to see where the wind is blowing. You don't know where it came from or where it's going, but you can see the effect of the wind. So we don't really know about the Holy Spirit, when he's coming, when he's going, what he's doing, but the effect of the Holy Spirit is very powerful in your life. And very unique. So Nicodemus answered to him and said, how can these things be? Now that is a very honest answer from an understanding, teachable teacher. How can these things be? I'm an old man. I've studied my whole life. I've been under the law. I've tried to please God. I live in the midst of corruption. I have a lot of power and influence. How could I have missed these things? That's why Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you won't enter into the kingdom. See, when we get so intellectually proud and arrogant that we know it all and we're unteachable, we miss it as little children. Little children are so teachable. They're so open to the new things. They're exploring, they're probing, they're poking, they're jumping, they're running, they're going nuts. They're bouncing off of walls. They'll try anything once until you say no or they get hurt. And even if you say no, they may try it when you're not looking. And even though they get hurt, if it's fun, they'll try it again. Kids are unique, but boy, we get so rigid. This is the way it is. In the box, in the box, in the box. And we miss the beauty of what heaven is really about. You being yourself. You being free-flowing. You not trying to impress people. You not being a respecter of persons. And you just loving Jesus. And then you get your food, and no matter what anybody says all day long, that isn't true. That's right. That's not true. That's okay. That's not right. That's a lie. This is truth because you've been fed by heaven. So Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel? You're one of the rulers and you don't know these things? I say to you, we speak. Now notice that word we, because Nicodemus used we on him. So now Jesus is talking about Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in heaven. We speak what we know and testify what we have seen. And you do not receive our witness. If I tell you about earthly things, you don't believe them. About the wind blowing around, for instance, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things, being born again? No one has ascended to heaven. I want you to put a question mark right there. I want you to do a little Bible study this week. What about Elijah? What about Enoch? Didn't they go to heaven? What about Moses? Because Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus transfigured on the mountain in their new bodies. I want you to do a little homework on your own. What does he mean nobody's ascended to heaven but the Son of Man who came down from heaven? And as Moses, and here's the second person, Moses. Moses means taken out or drawn forth. Actually, he has a very interesting background. He was the first basket case in the Bible. As a little baby, his mom put him in a basket and let him drift down the Nile. Paul was the second basket case. They lowered him in a basket over the wall. But this guy, Mo, was the first basket case. But he was separated at birth from his mommy and daddy. Now, some of you have been adopted. And some of you, dear ladies, have had to adopt out children. And that's painful. It's very painful. But God knows where that child is. My mom, which I never talked about when she was alive, had to give me up. And I was put in a foster home as a little guy. And one of my brothers, I hated it. I grew up with so much bitterness and anger because of that. I hated it. But she was a hard-working woman. And many of you single moms, it is painful for you to try to make ends meet. And you're sacrificing. And you work hard and you work overtime. You want them to get a good education. You want that extra pair of shoes for them. You want them to go to the prom. You want them to play football. I have no idea how my mom did it, but I know she did it. And so for Moses, God had everything in his life to prepare him to be a leader and a deliverer. So some of you are feeling pain because of your childhood or somebody you had to give away. God uses it all for his honor and his glory. What you need to do is now trust him. Maybe you caused the problem, but God is such a great God that he unwinds the problems that we cause many times. Just be patient with yourself. Let God work. Watch how he can take the years of the cankerworm and the years that the locusts have eaten up and revive everything. The father and mothers of Moses were lovers of God. Maybe you come from a family where mom and dad love God. But they left in the hands of God this little boy who, being a Hebrew, was ordered to be murdered. That Pharaoh said, kill all the Hebrew babies. It is interesting that in the world when Jesus was born, the real deliverer, the real savior, for Moses was a foreshadow of Jesus. They said, kill all the baby boys 2 years and under in Bethlehem. The same story. Everything shaped in your life is for you to release yourself to the King of Kings and to now become who you are destined to be. The more you hold on to yourself, the more you keep that pride, the more you keep that identity, the more you keep who you are, the deader you are. And the sooner you'll just let go and say, okay, you do it. You just do it. You're going to be like that mom and dad that love God. And they trusted this boy in the hands of God that allowed him to float through the world. And ultimately, God had his plan. He was filled with all the wisdom, we're told, of Egypt. All the science, all the astrology, all the religion. Everything. He was brilliant. He was the co-regent of all of the greatest empire in the history of the world, of Egypt. Sat right next to Pharaoh. But then for 40 years, as he was filled as a young man, he fled Pharaoh. And he went to the wilderness, became a shepherd. Another 40 years of his life, it took 40 years to empty him of himself and all he learned in the world. Some of you are mean to yourselves and you're harsh to yourselves. You don't change overnight. Moses is the picture of that. Let God keep emptying you and emptying you. And don't think you're there. You're not there. You're 100 miles from there. Let him keep working on you and emptying you and get you out. And then for another 40 years, from 80 to 120, he was refilled. He had a new birth. He was refilled with heaven and with God. He knew how to do it in the world's way from the level of Pharaoh. He was at the highest organization of the world. But now he came down. He had to empty himself and be a shepherd who were abominations to Pharaoh. Remember that? Joseph said, you know, you go over there to Goshen, you tell Pharaoh that you're shepherds, because shepherds are an abomination. And this is exactly what Moses came. A pastor. Pastors are on the lowest rung of the feeding chain. But you walk in, people say, who are you? What do you do? I'm a pastor. Oh, and they turn their back on you. They walk away. Don't want to talk to this guy. He's a weirdo. Yeah, I may be a weirdo, but I've got the words of eternal life. And I'm keeping them, and I'm not sharing them with you. No, to be a shepherd, to be that lowly, was something God did to empty this man so now he could fill him with the right way of thinking, not the worldly way of thinking. And Pharaoh is a person you want to be like. He was a man of background and experience. He learned that when God guides, God provides. Pharaoh had all the money to do anything he wanted to do. Doesn't mean it was the right thing to do. When he had no money, he knew that whatever God gave him, God was providing, and that's what God wanted to do. His ways, he found out, leading 2 million Jews through the wilderness for 40 years, he found out that his ways are not our ways. And that's a great lesson you learn when you're born again. God does it completely different than San Diego. God's not bankrupt like the city of San Diego. God doesn't have crime. God doesn't have perversion. God is God, and he's pure, and he's holy. Because wisdom from above is first pure, and then it's gentle. Then James 3:17 says it's easy to be entreated, full of the fruits of righteousness, with no hypocrisy therein. So God's ways is one thing that Moses learned, and it's one thing you want to learn. And then Moses learned through his experience, there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. So God had to take 40 years to empty him and say, you don't want to do it that way anymore. And some people do not want to be born again simply because they want to keep doing it their way. Other people have been born again, and you may be in this category, but you still do it your way, and you still flop, and you still struggle, and you still are carnal, because you will not believe there's a way which seems right to the man, but the end is death. And how many things have you involved yourself in that no fruit has come out of? Or stress, or strife, or it's not pure, it's not gentle, it's not easy being treated. It's hypocrisy. That's carnality. That's because you need to learn what Moses learned. My way is not the way. God's way is it. He was not only a guy of background experience, he was a humble teacher. A king's heart was not good enough in God's eyes. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, he sat with Pharaoh. He sat with a crown on his head. He had a scepter in his hand. He could say, go here, go there, do this, write this check, give that gold, this silver, receive this person, get that person. Very important. That was the heart of a king. But I want to tell you something. The world has trained you to strive upwardly, always go upwardly and get more and more and more and more. A king's heart is not good enough for God. It's not. A humble heart. He'd rather have you be obedient than free will offering and sacrifice. That heart is what he's dealing with. That's where the renewal and the revival starts. A shepherd's heart is what God wants. He wants you to be a humble person, helping people that need leadership and direction. And fourthly, he was the deliverer of the law, but he was living under grace. And some of us have to live a little bit more stringently in very close quarters, with very narrow paths and very slight room for any error at all because you're in the fishbowl, but you can still live under the grace. And though this man delivered the Ten Commandments, and he got angry and he destroyed them when he saw all the sex and the drunkenness going on, the dancing and the partying, and he got angry, God was still on the throne and still patient and still rewrote the Ten Commandments. Imagine if Moses were the final decision maker. His anger was too much. He went through lots of pain to find God's grace. He ended up dying to himself, but he lived for God. In Numbers 11:29, Moses said, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. That's God's desire for you. That you would just have all the gifts of the spirit. That you would be the ones that would do the work in these last days. The third and final person was Jesus. He was the giver of truth and life. You can't find truth anywhere else. You can find variations of truth, but you can't find the truth. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And to be born again, to get that second birth, brings you the life inside that'll take you to heaven. Jesus was a living example of the new birth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what did we see Jesus do? He only got mad at one group of people, religious hypocrites. He loved, he fellowshiped with, he became friends with the sinners. Oh, look, he eats and drinks with sinners. That's right. He hung around with dead people. Lazarus, come forth. And the reason he said, Lazarus, come forth, because if he just said, come forth, the entire cemetery would have emptied. Everybody wanted out of that place. But he was pinpointing one guy. And today, God's pinpointing you. You must be born again. Marvel not that I say you must be born again, because except you are born again, you'll be like Nicodemus, have all the knowledge, but no experience. You come like Moses, think that you've got it all and you're in charge, but he'll have to break you. Or you can be like Jesus, the spirit of truth. He didn't come to destroy, he just said to Nicodemus, I didn't come to condemn, and I didn't come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. Because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. We can be like Nicodemus, embarrassed to be seen with Jesus, sneak around to meetings without anybody recognizing us, afraid to lose our social standing and position, full of all the form of religion, of Protestantism and denominationalism and Catholicism, and say, well, I know all about Jesus, But we can be like him and be willing to learn and be transformed. We can be people like Moses, full of ourselves and full of the world. And then we can be emptied of the world and the self and be teachable. We can be filled with God's will and lose our will, knowing that the law is part of what's going on around us, but still living by grace. Now Moses, Numbers 12:3 says, was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. This powerful man was the meekest man that ever lived. Boy, what a transformation. You must be born again. We can let Jesus give us new life from above. We can let Jesus bring us a new way of living. And we can let Jesus be the Lord of our lives. But the only way that'll happen is if you confess your sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You may be standing at a scene of somebody's death and you die at that scene. You may be out having the greatest time of your life and that pole comes up in front of you and you can't miss it. You may be in a surgery situation and full of pain. You can still cry out to God and God will hear you. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We're very grateful, Lord, that you would take time in the middle of the night after a long day to meet with a man named Nicodemus, and that you would let him empty his heart, his understanding, his questions, his reasoning capabilities, and then you would re-instruct him about truth. We want to thank you that Jesus could go back, Father, all the way to Moses, that this man knew thoroughly from the books. He understood everything about Moses, but didn't know the God of Moses. And so for all of us that maybe are intellectually in the know about the Bible or heaven or God, we'd like to pray that you would humble our hearts, that we could be born again. Lord, we'd like to just thank you that you are the way. Moses wasn't the way. Nicodemus wasn't the way. The leadership of the Sanhedrin, the church leaders weren't the way. The church wasn't the way. Judaism wasn't the way. You're the way. Moses was a great deliverer, but he wasn't the deliverer. You're the deliverer. And there are hurting people here, Father. They need you to let your son be the deliverer and the savior. And so as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, even those of you in the overflow rooms, would you just pray a prayer like this? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name that you would give me a second birth. I confess to you that I am a sinner. And I pray that you'll forgive me of my sins. Forgive me and give me eternal life. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit and truth. And that you'll give me a new life that I could walk with you. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. And I pray that you'll give me a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. In Jesus' name. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Did you pray that prayer? Just raise your hand up. I'd like to see you and pray for you this afternoon. If you're unsure, just call out to God. Give him the opportunity like Nicodemus did. Because Nicodemus ends up coming to the cross and helping get Jesus down. He surrendered. And that's all he's asking you to do. Surrender and let him take charge. And it's going to be wonderful. Lord, you've seen these people. God bless you. You've seen these people that have raised their hands and their hearts to you. I'd like to pray that you'd give them tremendous assurance right now. Just a flood of peace that passes all understanding. Lord, for us old goats that have been around, born again for years, help us to be understanding and teachable and fresh with you. And let your Spirit renew us and create in us a new heart. Lord, may you bless this congregation to be people that radiate your love and your joy. And may you use them as they leave this facility and this campus, wherever you sprinkle them like salt, to just look for people and pray for people that must be born again before it's too late. May you honor these commitments today, and may you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's Mike McIntosh closing our studies for the day about a pivotal passage of Scripture from the book of John. How exciting it is when someone takes that step of faith and commits their life to Christ. Perhaps after listening to this study, you want to make that same commitment. Or perhaps you made that decision many years ago and now realized you need to come back. Let me take a moment and invite you to visit our website. Our address on the World Wide Web is MikeMacintosh.com. Once you're on the homepage, look for the Know God link, where you'll find the simplicity of the gospel clearly explained. There's also a section about getting a fresh start with God, along with suggestions for further study. On the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse, we'll continue in our studies, and our topic will be the three great truths of John the Baptist. If you'd like to review any or all of the teachings from this series by Mike that we've presented here on CNV from this New Testament book, you can find a complete listing of this series on the web under the teaching link and then go to the sermon page. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.